Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version. So then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm gonna set up the speaker and I'm gonna listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi there, nice little sunny Friday. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Sam Panayotovic, Sal Capaccio, Paul Hamilton, maybe even Brian Koziol. We're kind of loaded up here today. It's opening day for a few different, of course, they're different, right?
Home openers.
I don't need the word different. Opening day, home opener for several major league teams, including the Mets, who we have on now, the Red Sox, your favorite team, the Cubs. It just, you know, thought of it, watching the Cubs in the first inning. It is pretty amazing that in 2025, a major league team has a brick wall for the outfield. Like a literal brick wall. Did the Bills consider that for the new stadium?
I don't know.
You don't have to run into it.
Yeah. There is at least some ivy. I mean, right, is that still it's not really in season right now.
It's just it looks like vines, just grass almost at this point.
Yeah.
But there's a brick wall behind there is a brick wall there that you can run into. That's charming.
Are we sure it's still really bricks?
No. On the sides it's padded.
Cuz I feel like that could be like faux padding made to look like bricks. I feel like that's out there. If it's not, it should be. I remember years and years ago going to Camden Yards, like maybe late 90s, going to Camden Yards with a buddy for a weekend. The station got me set up because I did a thing where I lived on a billboard for a week to raise money for a slain Buffalo police officer. And like the company, they're like, you know, that was a great job by you. Great promotion, you know, something good for the community. What would you like to do? And I'm like, well, what are my options? we've got stations here and here and here. Is there anything, you know, travel-wise? I'm like, well, I'll go to Baltimore. Sure. So two tickets for three games. It was great. And one of the games, we were right on the, you know, right front row. And the warning track was fake. It wasn't real dirt.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hmm. I was like, this is shattering. I need this to be dirt. I don't know if it looks like dirt. Yeah, I don't know if that's changed since then, but it was like this. It was weird to me. Like it didn't even look The reason I'm even hesitating about, I remember having the thought, that's not real dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look safe, really, to like run on. I don't know, it looks slippery. Anyway.
Like a track or something.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's what it was. Just, but made to look like the same color as what the warning track dirt is. And that's the kind of thing that'll make you question, is anything real that I'm watching on TV? Well, what is happening here? So I've never been to Wrigley Field, so I've never been out to the bleachers, or I've never sat where I'm staring at the outfield walls there, and now I'm wondering if maybe they're fake. It's padded.
Maybe the whole thing is fake. Maybe it's not even a real place.
Yeah. Maybe they just have the bricks superimposed on there like the hockey ads.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a brick wall. We watched the guy run into it a few minutes ago, yeah. And you couldn't really see the wall. You just see the vines.
Yeah.
But I think it's a brick wall. Maybe I should have looked it up.
I think you're probably right. When you said that, it triggered this memory of this like sort of pebble, whatever.
Okay,
I don't even
yeah.
know what that warning track was in Baltimore at the time. It was
a laminate, some sort of laminate
sort of
floor.
Weird, right? I'm like, what are we doing
here? I don't know.
Here?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it is pretty cool right now. Like we a few years ago, it wasn't a draft, but we with Joe with us ranked the top 10 sports days. Didn't we remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know the results of that, but we all had different lists. And, I mean, four of most fans, I want to say, top 10, if you're just sort of like, these aren't necessarily my favorite, but like the best, the biggest, are right here. Like it's the first day of the NCAAs. The Final Four is tomorrow. It's opening day in baseball, which is pretty cool. I mean, I don't think you have to be a serious baseball fan to like, you know, the
no, fa- I think if you have a
packed.
You have a baseball team in your town, I think whether you care a lot about it or not, it's still a cool day.
It's the best
I
day
think
of
if you're
the
a
season.
Sports fan, if you're even a casual sports fan, oh, the Cubs are opening today, cool. You know, you're going to go down there? You know, that vibe, I think, would be there if you like sports even a little.
It's the best day of the season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you have like 4th of July or Memorial Day or certain holidays.
Especially if
Harry Potter Day.
I think especially if you don't think your team's any good. You know, if you think your team's going to be good, then you've got, you know, you got 162 of these are, well, whatever, these are home openers, so they've already played a handful of games. But you get the point. You got a long way to go. And if you think your team's going to be good, you probably are looking forward to lots of highlights through the spring and summer and into the fall. But if you think your team is, you know, then opening day, but okay, let's get off to a good start here. Anything can happen. You're right. Get 10 games in and I'm 7-3. Like, hey, maybe I'm live.
I don't know if this is exactly true for the Bills. I think it probably is for Bills fans. I know with the Sabres over the years when I was doing season tickets, the opener was the best. It was the game we kind of all wanted. When we would draft those tickets, I'd want to, you know if other people in front of me in the draft order, like maybe they couldn't go to the opener. I would want, that was always the game I wanted. Mm-hmm. It would be like the opener and then depending on if it's your cup of tea, the Leafs. Those were the big ones. So I think it's definitely true of baseball. It was how I felt with the Sabres. I think it's the best night of the year. Part of it is like season ticket holder. You see your friends again. Like it's your friends maybe that you go to games with, but it's also the people around you.
Yeah.
And for about 5 years, that was a special aspect of it. I mean, it changes over time.
I definitely think that is true for football in tenfold, a hundredfold, because it's not just the people you sit with, obviously, at football. Like, there's a whole different element through the hours leading up to the game, and that's the same kind of thing. Like, you're not seated together, but, you know, you park in the same spot if you have that kind of connection or I don't want to say luxury, but you just, you know, people have their spots. And so it's totally conceivable to me you're going to go from January until September without maybe even having any contact with any of those people, depending on what your relationship is like. But they're here. This is probably especially true in the camper lot, because those are people that maybe are traveling in some cases, although not always. Jeremy White and Molly have a trailer, and they live in North Buffalo, but they go out there with a camper for the home games. So I think that like adds to the allure of the opener in a way, because it's sort of homecoming. You know, you get back together with people. I love sort of getting lost in when I have the time to really sit with it and think about it, you know, because I have so much other stuff going on. But the things that sort of trigger the good feelings and the memories, you know, like what is it about opening day in baseball? What is it about the first Bills game, the home opener for the Sabres, like you're saying, like these things that trip wires for us that just make us want to be there? You know, they are just one game. You know, when they're over, you're gonna go, all right, well, better luck tomorrow if it doesn't go well. You know, like it's, at least the season's just beginning. There's still room for optimism. I love sort of the romance of all that, you know, like it's something that I was feeling this week, and at this time of the year, I really do start to feel it when it's light out longer and you've got hockey games that matter in the standings. And like, it's just been so long since we've had that it makes me almost belligerently angry that we don't get to enjoy that. It's just been taken from us. I mean, taken from us sounds a little harsh probably, but
it should be a pretty cool weekend. And
yeah,
it's just a weekend.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, I think the point about, you were saying, I think about baseball, that opening day is especially the best if your team is bad. Like you're tied for first, you know, when you walk in for the opener. And I think football, for me, why football is different is that there are so many fewer games. And with that point, especially if you're good, like last year the Bills opened with Arizona, like you'd better win.
Yep.
The first hockey game, the first baseball game, it's a nice change from how it feels later in the season if you're a serious fan, because really it's like you're just kind of there for the occasion. It's not so much, it's not so important.
Right.
The Sabres hoisted the President's Trophy banner in September or October of 2007, and that was a tremendous night and everything like that, although they had guys, Drury and, you know, Briere left, and so it was a little bittersweet, but still, like, you could celebrate a great season that had just happened. They lost to the Islanders that night, and like, oh, all right, well, it's one game.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're right. The occasion is way more important than the result in a situation like that where you've got 82 or 100, well, 81 more or 161 more or whatever this is, 154 more, whatever for the Mets today. With, you know, these home openers have already played six games or whatever on the road or more. Yeah, it is. It's the festivity is what it is. It's, you know, it's not a parade, but it's sort of the same vibe. Like, hey, we're all here. Hey, this is cool. Yeah, we got a team.
I think the Bills thing with them being good, it's really sort of maybe down the middle for all that stuff, the getting back together with people and the community aspect of it, but also like, okay, well, I mean, think about how last year went. They did beat Arizona.
Yeah, there's a different kind of pressure there, I think.
They had to. Like, to be the one seed to have a chance at it, they kind of had to win that game. So that's fine. I mean, it's just a different I think it's a different feeling for football in that way.
Yeah, it's a lot less relaxed. I think is at least I
it's would important
say
to win.
Yeah.
More so than it would be for any one baseball game.
Right.
So you had, like I mentioned, the start of the tournament. Everybody loves that first day of the tournament. The Masters is next week. The Masters made that list for us,
sure. Like
the top 10.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Days, whatever day it was. I mean, Sunday.
Sunday, maybe, yeah.
Masters Sunday.
Yeah.
And then the draft.
Yeah. The draft was
your number one.
Yeah.
The draft.
Thank you. Yeah. For remembering that. I was feeling like I was going to need to remind you because it surprised me. That might sound weird. Like it's my opinion. You think I would have a handle on that going into it. But as the thing unfolded, I ended up feeling like, you know, this day, I used to hate that day. I would say partially that was somewhat work-related because we'd be in here for 6 or 7 hours or something, like trying to not sound like I'm reading out of the Our Lads book or something. Like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, this is not my wheelhouse here. Like, I like football. I like college football. I know some of these players, but no, I'm not here to tell you about the tackle that the Browns just took with pick 28. I don't know anything about him. And so that made me uncomfortable. Once we got clear of that, I realized I love the draft. Like, no matter what I was doing, when it was still, you know, not on Thursday or Friday, and just on Saturday, noon, you know, it was often a nice day, and it's the time of the year, spring, right? Outside, pull the storm windows off and clean the inside windows and put the storms back on and whatever, and I would always end up gravitating back to the TV. It could be 80 and sunny, and I'm like, okay, Dallas is on the clock. Like, I was gripped by it, and now I love it even more. Like, I just love the whole thing, the families, the whole, just all of it. And so, yeah, when we got around to doing that, I ended up with the draft as my favorite day, and I'm like, boy, me 5 years ago would have thought, what are you hammered? What are you talking about? But I love the draft now.
I like it. I don't love it like that. I don't get sentimental about a lot of that stuff quite to the same extent. The hugs bother me. But
well, I can make fun of the hugs
the
with Goodell
hugs.
Sure, yeah.
Just
yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
Those years, like the long days, some of those memories are Saturdays, like the draft would.
Mm-hmm.
Not now we have Saturday as day three, but remember when the Bills drafted Willis McGahee? Or the day they had the Flyers here in the playoffs, the 8-0 clinching of that series in 2001 against Philadelphia. That's the first round of the NFL draft happening at the same time, you know, if that matters. I like it. I picked, for what it's worth, the week one in the NFL as my mm-hmm. favorite day. You know, I am an avid fantasy player, and I think what I would say I'd like most about this draft coming up, or most drafts, is just like where guys fall. You know, by then, even by now, I feel like I know enough about 20 or 30 different skill position players, at least, and finding out, all right, what's the landing spot and what does it mean? Is this a situation? Ashton Gentry goes to the Raiders, like, that's perfect because nobody else is really there. Like, it's all his. If he goes, probably, it's all his. And so, you know, you sort of analyze that. If he goes to the Bears, which is another popular mock spot for Gentry, the running back from Boise State, well, you know, maybe, probably, if you were going to pick him 10 overall, you would think so. But they do have Swift and even Roschon Johnson. Like, there might be, you know, they might sort of slow play that. And, you know, every receiver, every running back, really the whole way, by late Saturday, it doesn't really matter that much. But certainly the first day, the second day, it does. So I like it for that. Saying that, this year, I think this year has a chance to be kind of a letdown, the draft. You know, thinking of it from fantasy, thinking of it from the Bills' point of view, I mean, this is just one way of looking at it. They'll get somebody in the first round, you know, probably. Last year they traded out, but you know what I mean. And it'll maybe be a defensive tackle or a cornerback. And like, okay, we can say what we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
But without the skill position piece, the fantasy piece, it's not as intense for me. And I think the draft mostly will have that kind of vibe. Like, there are maybe three running backs that go in the first round. Maybe it's four receivers. Maybe it's two quarterbacks. Maybe it's two tight ends or one. That's 10-ish out of 32. And so I think a lot – I mean, you can certainly – some people will it. Who cares if it's a wide receiver or a linebacker, you know, or offensive guard or something? There are those fans who are, you know, what's the difference? But for me, I think most of the middle of the draft will just kind of be there.
Yeah, I feel that, and like, and I don't think that has to. I mean, it certainly does pertain to someone who's really into fantasy like yourself, but I'm not at all, and I feel that point. Like, the skill positions are more fun to talk about. They're more fun to – the highlights are more fun to watch, usually, right? Like, I will find myself getting much more lost in tape of some tight end or a wide receiver or even a running back than I will a safety or a corner. And I say that I don't stop and look at those or even go looking for them myself if it's someone that I think we're going to be talking about or I'm interested in just in general. But the skill guys, you know, they're the guys that have the ball. That's it. I mean, and what do you do when you sit down to watch football? I mean, some people have the capability, I know some of them, to watch the other things going on. But, you know, most of us just go, where's the ball? Who's got the ball? Where's the ball going? Where's it going? You know, like, that's it. So when there aren't marquee skill guys there, you know, 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks to debate, and, you know, same with receiver and whatever, we're used to not having running backs. Maybe there'll be, I mean, could there be more running backs taken than receivers? I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you classify Travis Hunter, but still even probably not. But
probably not, but it could be the same. It could be 3 of each.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's just a big departure from, you know, years where we've had these loaded receiver classes and, you know, a handful of quarterbacks that you could think were possibly going to be chosen early. Like, the best I can do beyond the top two guys is like, well, maybe someone will take a flyer on Jackson Dart. I really would be stunned if I came anywhere close to the first round on Milroe. My bet with you is top 16. Like, that feels dead to me. But, you know, nobody thought Penix was going 8 last year, so maybe somebody will surprise us in that way, and that'll give the draft a little juice if that happens. But, yeah, I think there's probably going to be a lot of, you know, I don't know, unsexy picks.
Yeah.
I was listening to Greg Cosell with Chris and Steve on the way in on One Bills Live, and Greg made that point that, like, this first round, you're very likely going to see maybe more than you usually see guys picked in the 20s, say, who consensus on was they're in the 40s or 50s. And, you know, by virtue of that, it's not like a linear trade, but guys that had, you know, we thought, mock drafters thought, whatever, a lot of analysts thought guys would go in the middle or late first round, won't go until the second round. Or who knows, maybe even later. And that, I think, that uncertainty is due to how we've been reading and hearing about this draft the entire time. There just isn't a lot of blue chip, and there's a lot of it's kind of a plateau from, you know, like, some, I don't know, 10, maybe even earlier than that, into like 40 50. Or 50. Yeah. Which that should produce surprises.
That's
and
right.
Maybe that'll be interesting. You know, like, oh, maybe Mel Kiper will, oh, I can't believe they picked that guy. And maybe like Mel's best available. Maybe there'll be a guy that's on Mel's best available all night Thursday night. It's just like he's there, like, and teams are just dip, just going a different direction.
Right. I mean, I do think the first four picks, top three, four, are really interesting to see what happens. And I hope that it isn't known by that night. I mean, I think Tennessee is playing the game where probably they'll pick Cam Ward, but they're still talking like they don't know. And hoping, maybe, not that they would even necessarily take it, but that they get some dream offer and move. But they want you to think that they're still working that out and they're still available. But, you know, that's probably what happens there. They need a quarterback, so why not take the consensus best? That could look really bad for a long time if they don't, and he's good. Then you have the Browns and the Giants, who are both really interesting teams. I hope, for the sake of the draft and the conversation, that Sanders seems plausible enough of an idea as we go for the next couple of weeks here at 2 or 3. I mean, you have people who think the Giants, even though they signed Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, still would do that. I have a tough time believing that, but they don't have a future guy at all. So they could. The Browns could. If they don't, I don't know. Like, if the Browns pick Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, then I think I would expect them to pick one with their next pick, trade up or beginning of the second round. But it would really be a judgment on Sanders if they don't do that. And then by the time you get to New England, Jacksonville, we might be looking at tackle, defensive line, and then we're at that point. And
right.
Where Genty goes will be interesting. But, you know, last year—
How soon the first receiver goes, but outside of Travis Hunter again.
Right.
Keep saying that disclaimer.
But again, like last year, to the point, what did I say, 10 out of 10 picks in the first round maybe will be quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Last year, we did this with Matt Harmon yesterday. Out of 34 picks, including Keon Coleman and McConkey,
yeah.
You had 9 receivers, 6 quarterbacks in the top 12, no running backs in this group last year. Jonathan Brooks was the first, and he went after 34, went a mid-second or whatever. Then and Bowers. So like half.
Right.
Basically half of your first round was this. So it does make a difference for I think probably most fans. You can bet the draft. The props are out on a few different sites. We can bring that up with our guest after the break, Sam Panayotovic from Bet Sweats, Odyssey Betting Insider. Sal will join us at 4. He was out at that ceremony today where they, it made it seem like the stadium was done. I've never heard of a thing called a topping out ceremony. I love that they even built a stage with the words "topping out ceremony" in all caps. That's a thing. Maybe if I knew construction, I would know.
Yeah, that's right.
Topping out ceremony.
I think that's what's necessary to know about that.
It couldn't just be a thing. It had to be called something. But we'll talk to Sal about that and more. Paul Hamilton as well. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, back with Sammy P. after this on WGR.